This morning's public reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and I'm going to be reading verses 14 to 18 only. Luke chapter 16, reading verses 14 to 18. Well, let's go back to verse, 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and derided him, and said unto him, Ye are they, he said unto them, ye are they that justify yourselves before God. Before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Jesus comes into more conflict with the religious establishment of his day. And just like Jesus' day, we find the same thing today. Have you noticed that sometimes you might have the most wholesome conversation with an atheist or with an agnostic, but try to have a wholesome conversation with somebody who claims to be a Christian on some point of doctrine that some may consider to be controversial or adversarial? You want to really cause a room of Christians to go silent? Simply speak up and say, hey, I want to discuss the doctrine of God's election and predestination. Notice how the air in the room quickly escapes from the room, and it grows dead silent, almost like a graveyard at night. Once again, Jesus did not receive too much static from the publicans and the sinners and the harlots and the prostitutes of his day. Have you noticed? He didn't even receive, as far as we know from the four gospel narratives, he didn't even receive any pushback from the presence of Rome until it became his trial before Pontius Pilate. Up until that time, it would seem that the Roman Empire paid little or no attention to Jesus whatsoever. To whom and from whom did Jesus receive all of this pushback? It was those who were claiming to be Abraham's sons and daughters, the religious establishment of his day. And beloved, as children of God, you are going to receive more pushback, more criticism, and more of a fight from those who darken church buildings than those who never darken a church at all. And we find that right here. Notice in verses 14, the Pharisees also, who were covetous, greedy, self-centered little snakes, heard all these things, meaning everything that we've read so far in chapter 16 by context, and they derided him. Jesus was not accepted by the religious establishment. Only a handful, we know of at least two, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, at least only two of the Sanhedrin are mentioned as followers of the Lord Jesus. And the gospel narratives also go one step further in telling us that those Pharisees that supposedly believed in Jesus remained silent for fear of being kicked out of the synagogues. are coming into conflict with their fellow members of the Sanhedrin. In Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus goes into the outer court of the temple, where all that shenanigans was going on, and the covetousness of these people were in full bloom with exorbitant exchange rates, when Jews from around the Roman Empire, in obedience to the law of Moses, had to attend from a certain age on up, not being able to bring their sacrificial animals from the four corners of the Roman Empire, they would come with lots of money, and they would buy their respective animals, whatever it was, to have sacrifice done on their behalf at that time. They had to exchange their coinage from wherever they came from within the Roman Empire into the shekels of the temple currency. And beloved, we are told that the religious establishment had some wonderful exchange rates that profited a whole lot of profit in the pockets of these covetous Pharisees. And Jesus went off like a Saturn V rocket, did he not? Whom did he attack? He wasn't attacking the woman that was caught in adultery, remember. He didn't attack the woman at the well. He didn't attack any who came seeking healing from him. Whom did Jesus aim his attack? Religious people. Religious people. And notice, they derided him. Isn't it amazing that verse 13 comes before verse 14? What does verse 13 tell us? No servant can serve two masters. Well, the Pharisees thought they could have their cake and eat it too with a scoop of ice cream off to the side. The Pharisees believed they could have one foot in the temple complex and all that went on, and one foot in the Roman Empire, and to profit from both. They were straddling their two legs, beloved, between what Jesus is now saying here in verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for he either is going to hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And if you do a little bit of Hebrew parallelism, as I taught you, you ought to have some fun in verse 13, showing the comparisons, the similarities, or the contrast that Jesus here was making. Notice, hating one is the same thing as despising. Loving one is the same as holding on to it. Jesus was using Hebrew parallelism to a bunch of greedy Jewish religious leaders. He used the same method that Solomon does in the book of Proverbs. And then in verse 15, he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. Now notice, and this goes even today, this is a principle that is so applicable in the 21st century here in the United States. For that which is highly esteemed among men. Now let's stop and think. What is held in such high regard today in America? Power. Money, prestige, celebrities and their freakish lifestyles, critical race theory, wokeism, transgenderism, LGBTQ, X, Y, and Z to the third power, entertainment, sports, bombers, battleships, aircraft carriers, technology, the internet. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. When was the last time you heard verse 15 preached in a contemporary American church? You would empty out the pews, lickety-split. Now, beloved, in and of itself, the things I just mentioned, if they're used properly and not abused, they're beneficial. We send people off to Washington, D.C., hopefully that they would use their voting power to make our lives a little bit more tranquil and peaceful. We have our military to protect our borders and to protect our allies. I have no problem with that. I'm ex-military. I've wore the uniform for 24 years. Sports, fun, and games are all nice and innocent in and of themselves. But, beloved, when people make sports and entertainment their god, and they're all to end all, then they become nothing more than idol worshippers. That's all that I'm saying. But, beloved, we have to put it in its context here. What is said about the Pharisees in verse 14 is key. They were covetous. They were money-hungering little vipers. Jesus and John both called them vipers. So get mad at them. Don't get mad at me. I'm just simply quoting John and Jesus. And so, beloved, as we look at this particular portion, there's so much here, but just limited time to make a few comments. The thing that I want you to see is the fact that in your Christian experience, you're going to receive the greater persecution and the greater harassment and the greatest nastiness, not from the unbeliever. Sometimes they're very kind and quite considerate, quite compassionate to you and I. The ones that are going to cause you the greatest consternation are those who claim to be God's people. But maybe they're not. Remember, the Pharisees thought that they were in like flint. They were Abraham's children. Don't believe me? Read the exchange found in John chapter 8. We be of Father Abraham. We be of Moses. We be of the prophets. And Jesus told them, you're not. Because if you were, you would do the works of Abraham. But you're going about plotting to kill me. How can you be a son and daughter of Father Abraham and plotting to kill the Messiah that he foretold would come and be a blessing to all nations under heaven? Your greatest source of aggravation will always come from people who claim to be God's people. But maybe they're not. Well, may God choose to bless His word. Amen.